Ohio Farm Bureau's farmer leaders, including young ag professionals, AgriPower Class 12 members, along with county presidents and vice presidents, made their way to Washington, D.C. at the end of September. Over 3 days, participants heard from experts and, in turn, voiced their thoughts on topics as far-reaching as tax policy to climate to broadband development. This hour, hear more about this opportunity for members of Ohio Farm Bureau to help legislators make the connection between what is happening on Ohio farms and what is being debated in the halls of Congress and within federal agencies.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now with this week's news feed, here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
The 2021 Washington, D.C. Leadership Experience was a first-of-its-kind event, joining County Farm Bureau presidents and vice presidents with Ohio Farm Bureau young agriculture professionals and members of AgriPower Institute Class 12 at the nation's capital. Bill Patterson is president of Ohio Farm Bureau.
All these groups are bringing different viewpoints, different perspectives on all these issues, and the opportunity to have them all meet with the legislators and bring forward those perspectives, let alone being able to share those in between each other's and in between all those groups.
The trip at the end of September couldn't have been more timely.
We were just talking to a couple of the individuals from AFBF, giving us some policy updates, and what we're finding, these are issues that are hitting us today, in the next week. These are timely issues, and we're having this great opportunity to meet with all of our leaders, with our legislators today, while we can make a difference.
The event included remarks from Senator Sherrod Brown, who connected virtually with Ohio Farm Bureau members over breakfast. Senator Brown talked about his many years of service on the Senate Agriculture Committee and some of the bipartisan work he has done with Senator Rob Portman on an infrastructure bill, getting some attention on Capitol Hill.
There are some 3,000 Ohio bridges that are in need of repair. They're not about to fall down, but they're in various states of disrepair, and we have simply neglected investing. So there will be at least $10 billion in this bill for Ohio alone. And local county engineers and cities and the state will make determinations where this money goes. And also it includes broadband and addressing the needs. We know the pandemic was the great revealer. It showed the importance of broadband in rural Ohio, but also in inner city Ohio, where people don't have the internet connection they need, sometimes for doctor's visits, sometimes for school, sometimes for starting a business. So it will address these long neglected problems that presidents like Trump and Obama promised but didn't deliver on.
We'll hear more from Senator Brown later this hour. Senator Rob Portman said that while he heard from Ohio Farm Bureau members and worked to take all tax changes out of the infrastructure bill, including elimination of stepped-up basis and capital gains, those issues could be added to future legislation. He used the $5 trillion reconciliation bill as an example.
That has a lot of bad tax increases in it, including increases in the estate tax. So unfortunately, they take that 2017 exemption and they cut it in half. So you're now going to see some farms get caught up in the estate tax again. That's one example. Also, they raised the capital gains tax, which is a bad thing. So we got to be sure that we're not going back to the bad old days. And stepped up basis is still something a lot of Democrats would like to get rid of. And that would be a huge problem, because that means that all the years of inflation and so on that raises the price of your land or your buildings or your equipment, you know, you'd have to pay capital gains on that when you tried to pass it along. That would require a lot of farmers to have to sell their property altogether. So we can't go back to that.
While Ohio Farm Bureau members were in D.C., members of Congress voted on a continuing resolution to help keep the government running until early December. As Senator Portman visited with participants of this year's D.C. trip, he mentioned other bills that are in the works inside the Beltway.
The other thing that's going on is the debt limit. That's different than this. The debt limit probably is a mid to late October issue, so we've got a couple weeks left on that. I don't want to default. Nobody should want to default. That'd be bad. But on the other hand, we've got to be sure if we're going to extend the debt limit, we do something to stop the huge deficits and debts. That's the only time it's ever worked. And so I've got a proposal, which is dollar for dollar. If you raise the debt limit, you know, you find savings elsewhere. That won't pass, I know. But there are other things we could do. There's some legislation to look at our spending more seriously. And there's some stuff to deal with the fiscal side. I think we got to do that in context of the debt limit. It's the only time we've ever been able to do anything. Remember the sequestration. Remember the spending caps. Remember For those of you who are old enough, Graham Rudman in the old days, all those came out of a debt limit discussion. So that's why I've not been voting for the debt limits that the Democrats have been putting up, because they don't take that into account. Second, they want to raise the debt limit so high because they want to spend a lot more money in this what's called reconciliation bill. And that's the other thing that's going on right now. And you've heard that described as $3.5 trillion. My own view is it's closer to $5 trillion, but whatever. When you're talking trillions, that's thousands of billions. You know, $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. It's unbelievable that we'd be talking about these kind of numbers, but they are. They want to do $3.5 trillion, and they want to pay for it by raising taxes. And I think that'd be terrible right now. I gave a speech on the floor last night about its impact on small businesses, including farms, and it's just what you would expect. You know, they are trying to soak the money out of the system. They're going to say they're soaking the rich, but they're going to soak a lot of people in this room if they are able to do this. And, you know, the 20% deduction you get as a pass-through, if you're a pass-through entity on your farm, you can say goodbye to that. Ways and Means one caps it. The other ones that they're talking about, the Biden administration ones, just get rid of it. The interest, the income rates are going to go up. So, again, most of you probably pay your business taxes as an individual because you're a subchapter S or an LLC or a pass-through of some kind. But also the C-corporation rates are going up if you're incorporated as a company. It's going to make us less competitive. It's going to put us in a situation where we cannot be able to compete with other countries around the world. I was a big proponent of the 2017 tax cuts, and I took the lead on some of the aspects that had to do with making us competitive again. And guess what? It's worked. You remember before that we had companies literally in Ohio and elsewhere becoming foreign companies because of our tax code. I mean, they were called inversions. They would literally say, okay, I'm going to become an Irish company, or I'm going to become a, you know, Singapore company, and move my headquarters there. What happens is their investments and their jobs go overseas. And we stopped that entirely. There hasn't been a single inversion since the 2017 tax code. Why? Because we made it better to be an American company, and we actually started bringing money back here. And so about $1.6 trillion came back invested in America. And that's what we want. And Democrats want to flip all that. So this is real serious stuff. Some of you know a lot about stepped-up basis because you're looking at your own balance sheet and thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't pass the farm along if the Democrats get rid of stepped-up basis. I think we did a pretty effective job of advocating on that. There are still plenty of Democrats that want to do it, including in the administration. That was an administration proposal to get rid of stepped-up basis. This is upon death. So, you know, all those capital gains that have built up over the years, you wouldn't get to step up to what it is now. You'd have to pay all those gains. You'd have to sell the farm to do it for most people. In the Ways and Means House Democrat draft, they didn't include that. So I think, and that's an example where the Farm Bureau stepped up and was heard, and that's good. But still, they raised the rate. They reduced the exemption. So if you've got a successful farm, you may well not fit under the exemption because they cut it in half. And remember, we got the exemption so high that it took care of most family farms and most family ranches and small businesses. So the taxes are coming if this passes, because $3.5 trillion is, you know, a lot to pay for. And it'll be the biggest tax increase in 50 years if they do it. So that's why this is such a big deal to me. And on the spending side, we can talk about all those issues too. And, you know, taking away the incentive to work by providing free programs is a real problem, and it already has been with unemployment insurance, and that would continue, including what they're talking about on free college and free child care and free this and free that, and increasing the child tax credit, you know, which is really a payment from the government because it's refundable. So there's a lot in there on the spending side that I have that I'm opposed to, have deep concerns about what it would do to kind of our work ethic. But on the tax side alone, that's enough reason to say, gee, this is the wrong time to do this. We're finally getting over this pandemic. We're finally getting back on track. Do not do this to America's small businesses, farms, and ranches, and so on. So that's the other issue that's out there. Joe Manchin's statement yesterday, the press made a big deal of it. It's consistent with what he said from the start. He said he thinks this is fiscal insanity to do this big, huge package right now. And he's asked for a pause. I hope we not only pause, but that we kill it. We don't go forward with it.
Senator Rob Portman also talked about the infrastructure bill going through Congress these days and his part in crafting it.
On infrastructure, I will tell you, I took the Republican lead on that. I think it's good stuff. I appreciate the fact that the Farm Bureau nationally and in Ohio had endorsed it and has helped us with it. I know some people on the Republican side have had concerns about it, and all I can say is I hope you'll look at it, you know, yourselves and what's in it, because I spent some time yesterday talking to one of my colleagues from Ohio, a Republican House member. He said, I can't believe you get all that money in there for rich people with electric cars. I said, no, that's in the $5 trillion one. That's not in the infrastructure package. He said, well, how about the taxes? I said, there's no taxes. There's not a single tax increase in there. That's the whole point. We took Joe Biden's $2.65 trillion infrastructure package. We just pulled out the core infrastructure, including broadband, which we consider to be digital infrastructure, and we took all the taxes out. And we spent 6 months, Republican and Democrat, Joe Manchin, myself, and a few others, and came up with something in the middle that's good for the country. Every president in modern times, as you know, has called for a huge infrastructure package. Donald Trump's was $1.5 trillion. It was in two of his budgets. During the campaign, he called for even more. Ours is about $540 billion. So it's less than that, but it's a significant investment. And if you have the broadband issues that I have in Warren County, which is we can't get high-speed internet, and you have it all over places like Southeast Ohio, where, you know, kids literally can't do their homework without having their mom drive them to the library parking lot because they just don't have it, this really helps. But it's more important to me that it really helps generally in terms of making the economy more efficient and productive over time. This money won't be spent next year. It won't be spent in the next few years. It would be spent over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years on major projects. So think of the roads or bridges in your county that are in need of help. In Cincinnati, we happen to have one of the worst examples of this, which is the Brent Spence Bridge. And the Cincinnati, the Hamilton County people are nodding their head. It's a disaster. And for 25 years, we've been talking about fixing it. We've never been able to get the money to do it. And this is money well spent, and it creates good jobs. And that bridge will take probably 15 years to build. So it's not going to happen quickly. That's why the economists look at this and say this would be counterinflationary. It's not going to add to inflation, whereas the $3.5 trillion, or $5 trillion as I call it, is going to be pro-inflationary because it's stimulus spending. You know, it's putting more on the demand side of the economy, more money in people's pockets to free money, and then they go out and spend on stuff, and that causes more inflation because you got more demand than you do supply. This adds to the supply side, the infrastructure part. So that's just to distinguish those two. One thing that we got in the infrastructure bill, as you can imagine, I was pretty involved in because it was my bill, is permitting reform. And I got the, what was called the Golden Plow Award 1 year from the National Farm Bureau. I appreciate that, and mostly because of their work with me on permitting reform. But we got historic permitting reforms in here where we speed up the time it takes to permit something to build it and also get rid of some of the legal impediments by changing how long after a project is done you can face a lawsuit. And we never could have gotten that in, frankly, if it wasn't a bipartisan project where, you know, it was kind of some give and take. We've been trying to do it for years, and we've never been able to get this kind of permitting reform in there. So that's in that proposal, which is really great stuff. And again, I appreciate the Farm Bureau supporting us on that. And I thank you guys very much for coming and spending the time with the Farm Bureau. Again, it's really important that our ag community has a voice here in Washington and Columbus and in our counties, and that the policies that make sense for agriculture are promoted, because that's what makes sense for Ohio. Thank you.
Senator Rob Portman visiting with Ohio Farm Bureau members at the end of September during the 2021 Washington, D.C. Leadership Experience. More of our coverage from that trip continues after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
Today, farmers and small businesses with employees continue to search for health coverage options. Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan has teamed up with Anthem to offer businesses with 1 to 50 employees an opportunity to participate in a large, self-funded pool backed by Anthem. This health benefits plan offers competitive rates through a self-funded arrangement, fixed and predictable monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs, including deductible with coinsurance and high deductible plans. The OFB Health Benefits Plan uses Anthem's Healthcare Provider Network, one of the largest provider networks in the state. Your benefits package can affect employee satisfaction. With the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan, you get access to Anthem's industry-leading specialty plans, vision, life, disability, and more, in addition to medical plans. Plus, they're integrated for even more value. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org for eligibility details and to receive your highly competitive quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org, a self-funded medical plan for Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Today, it might seem that all news headlines impact you directly.
How will rural Ohio recover from a global pandemic?
A county eminent domain case heads to the Supreme Court.
Millions are still in need of reliable internet access.
The nation's food supply chain is being challenged.
For over 100 years, Ohio Farm Bureau has advocated for a strong Ohio food and farm community, and will continue to engage on issues important to you, because your growth is our future. Farm proud and farm strong by becoming an Ohio Farm Bureau member today by visiting ohiofarmbureau.org.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Case IH is a proud supporter of Ohio Farm Bureau, and thanks to a membership benefits partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount of up to $500 on every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. So join Ohio Farm Bureau and pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount at ofbf.org. That's ofbf.org.
As a farmer-owned cooperative, AgCredit knows a little extra capital can make a big difference in your operation, paying for new equipment, meeting unexpected expenses, and covering payroll. That's why they're returning $31 million to their borrower owners through their patronage program, lowering the cost of borrowing by 38%. What other lender does that? At AgCredit, they're proud to share profits with their members. Visit agcredit.net to learn more about how it pays to do business with AgCredit. You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week, giving you the highlights from the 2021 Ohio Farm Bureau Washington, D.C. Leadership Experience. Farmer leaders from across the state headed inside the Beltway to visit with lawmakers about issues important to agriculture and family farms all over Ohio. Senator Sherrod Brown took time to visit with our members over breakfast and talked about his work on a bill being considered in Congress as we speak that has to deal with infrastructure.
We have our country, through President Bush and Obama and Trump, essentially made big promises that we're going to invest in infrastructure, not just the really big bridges you hear about, the bridge over the Ohio River or a bridge, you know, over the Maumee and Toledo or over the Cuyahoga and Cleveland, but the small county bridges too. I grew up working on a family farm and remember driving tractors all the time with grain in the back or a hay wagon or whatever over these little small culvert bridges. And there are some 3,000 Ohio bridges that are in need of repair. They're not about to fall down, but they're in various states of disrepair, and we have simply neglected investing. So there will be at least $10 billion in this bill for Ohio alone. And local county engineers and cities and the state will make determinations where this money goes. And also it includes broadband and addressing the needs. We know the pandemic was the great revealer. It showed the importance of broadband in rural Ohio, but also in inner city Ohio, where people don't have the internet connection they need, sometimes for doctor's visits, sometimes for school, sometimes for starting a business. All of those things. And so it will address these long neglected problems that presidents like Trump and Obama promised but didn't deliver on.
Timeline for its passage?
Well, I think it will pass next month. I expect it will get to the president's desk by October. He will sign it. One of the provisions I'm proudest of is Senator Portman and I worked on this together, the two of us, is a strong Buy America provision. Too many times, like the Oakland Bay Bridge was built entirely, and you know how much steel is in a huge bridge, entirely by Chinese steel. Those days are past. This election with this new president, with this new Senate, we insist that steel and pipe and concrete and all the kinds of things that go into all sorts of infrastructure projects, that it be made by American workers and American companies. And you think of the number of jobs. Ohio alone, $10 billion for infrastructure. Think of the number of jobs for building tradespeople to do the actual installation, construction, replacement, repair, and then think of all the jobs created in the steel industry and in the supply chain and all that goes into that. And it will be a, it will, it's really a jobs bill for Ohio in so many ways. And I think our state could benefit as much or more than almost any state because we make so many of those things.
One of the things this morning that is so special about this trip and getting to visit with our senators from Ohio here in DC is the fact that you get to hear directly from our members. And you had a handful of them stand up and ask you some direct questions this morning. What do you take away from this morning's meeting with Ohio Farm Bureau members that you could utilize on the Hill?
Yeah, I wish that, I wish it could, you know, be the kind of interaction where when I go to that breakfast, I often get there earlier, at least before people eat. And I, you know, I go through the line and I talk to farmers and I work, go to tables, and it's the personal, you know, informal interaction that we've all missed in this pandemic. And it's made, everybody's job a little harder and maybe a little less effective. But it was useful today to hear the perspectives, also the questions that, you know, that obviously come from you all, that Cole asked about the $600 that you asked, that all three of you ask is helpful. So I want to, we will, we will continue that kind of thing. I think the questions about, about, especially about Lake Erie, that we don't, we want to make sure that it's not the heavy hand of government keeping this lake clean, although you need strong rules and regulations. It's giving incentives to farmers to continue to do best practices. I mean, farmers don't want to use more fertilizer than they have to. I understand that. We need to protect the creeks running through your farm because they end up in the Blanchard and then end up in the Maumee and then end up in Lake Erie. So there's a sweet spot there that we've tried to reach, and I think we can continue to.
Lastly, before I let you go, you mentioned that you've been on the Senate Ag Committee for a number of years, since 2007, if I'm not mistaken, and you've been through a lot of farm bill work. We are starting work on that again here in about a year. We'll begin getting into a new farm bill. And you mentioned how political things have become here inside the Beltway. Agriculture is so important, it shouldn't become a political football. And the Senate Ag Committee has been very bipartisan through all the processes of the farm bill. Do you see that continuing? Are we going to have a few more roadblocks than usual this time around?
I think with writing the farm bill, it will be, again, a legitimate bipartisan effort. There are philosophical differences, surely, between Democrats and Republicans, but there's more in common we have on ag issues than differences. The ag committee is the committee that generally a collection of farmers. I mean, of farm state senators. There are not too many urban people, but there's a senator from New York, but she's got a lot of farms in New York too. But most of her population's obviously New York City. I have a lot of Ohio populations in the big cities. And the farm bill also has a nutrition component, which affects everybody from school lunch program to so much more, to SNAP benefits and all that. But I am confident once we begin to work in the farm bill next year that that we will see that kind of bipartisanship. And you can count on me to weigh in and do that. And yeah, I always look forward to the beginning of the farm bill because it's when I get out to farms and do these roundtables, and you know, I listen to media people like you, and you can teach me and listen to farmers directly. And especially at this breakfast next year, while we're starting to kick off all this.
Senator Sherrod Brown visiting with the media after his breakfast at the end of September with the 2021 Ohio Farm Bureau Washington, D.C. Leadership Experience participants. Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. This is Our Ohio Weekly. For the Ohio Farm Bureau, I'm Ty Higgins. On this week's edition of To the Beat of Agriculture, we'll hear from a former sous chef who began growing ingredients in his own garden. Stay tuned to hear more about how he started his own farm-to-table restaurant in the Cleveland area.
Colin Brown. I live in Chippewa Lake, Ohio, and our farm's also in Chippewa Lake. And we do pasture-raised livestock. We do five and sometimes six species of different livestock. So we do beef, pork, chickens, ducks, turkeys, and we've done geese in the past, and we'd be willing to do geese in the future. I wouldn't say that I was in agriculture when I was a kid, but I certainly was around it a lot. My mother's family were farmers in Virginia, and I guess most specifically livestock farmers. So both my parents worked. I would spend my summers in Virginia helping family on their farms, And my father actually, my folks split up like probably around like 95. And so my dad bought his farm in like, I want to say 96. And so I kind of grew up seeing horses being bred, you know, hay getting made, things of that nature. And, you know, he and I spent a decent amount of time out there building out that place. It was a swamp when he bought it. You know, we put in drainage tile and drained the place out, and now it's just like beautiful, you know, like a 50-acre horse farm with paddocks everywhere. And, you know, it's still a little bit wetter than I think you would like, but, you know, I think we did a really good job, man, you know, over this time. I was a chef. I was working in some pretty high-level kitchens. This is around 2013. I was the sous chef and the in-house butcher at a place called the Greenhouse Tavern. It no longer exists, but... you know, we were a farm-to-table restaurant. We were sourcing from a ton of local farms. I was living in Cleveland at the time, working there. I had a nice backyard. I had converted my backyard pretty much, you know, mostly into a very, very large garden. And I'd bring in stuff from my garden to the restaurant, and we'd, you know, mess around with it. And I'm working with all these farmers and talking to them and going out and seeing their farms on free time. And, you know, at the time, my girlfriend and I had this big garden. We really enjoyed it. And her folks came over one day, and, you know, they were like, you know, we didn't even realize that this was, like, an interest of yours. And I said, you know, like, yeah, you know, it is. And it's becoming more and more of an interest in working at this restaurant, and being able to like have some produce available for the restaurant is nice. And, you know, I was telling them, I'm thinking about, you know, applying. The city of Cleveland has these different programs, whether it's about like grants to get like little urban farm plots started, where you could basically buy a plot for X amount and you could get grant money to kind of like get started. By the time I looked into that, that program had passed. And so from that, her parents offered us to go out to her grandfather's farm that they had started back in like the 60s, which was in far corner of Medina County. And they were like, hey, we got like probably about an acre that nobody's using. The rest of the farm's pretty much leased out. But you could come out and put a garden plot in there if you want it. You know, that stayed on my mind for a couple of months. And that was over the, you know, going into the fall, and I kind of thought about it through the winter. And we decided to do that. We went out there, we built a greenhouse and started a bunch of, you know, plants. And I was writing the schedule for the restaurant. And so I wrote my own schedule. I like asked my chefs at the time, I was like, you know, can I kind of set this up where Tuesday is my early day in, early day out, and then I'll be off Wednesday and Thursday. And so basically, you know, I would do my time. And when you're a sous chef at a high level restaurant, you know, you can expect to basically work 60 or 70 hours a week. And Tuesday night, we were collecting all the vegetable scraps and, you know, stuff like that from the restaurant to try to, like, attempt to make compost, which is much more complicated with vegetable scraps. You know, we would basically load that thing, that up into a bunch of, like, trash bins and, you know, throw them in the back of our pickup truck on Tuesday evening around 5 or 6 o'clock. We'd drive out to Medina, about an hour away from the restaurant, and we'd get there, we'd unload that, you know, we'd hang out, we'd make dinner, we'd go to sleep, and I'd basically be up at like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be out there, you know, doing this garden. So this past spring, we opened up a small restaurant in Cleveland, in Cleveland Heights, and all of the proteins that are on that menu are being supplied by the farm. I would like to continue that trajectory and open more places. I would also like to have, eventually have like a setup where people can come to the farm and kind of experience it in like a full interactive space. So, you know, you can come to the farm, we'll cook you dinner, we'll walk you around the animals, we'll do butchery classes, we'll do preservation classes, we'll do, you know, we'll go, you can have the entire experience. And lastly, you know, I'm big into, kids, you know, like I really like, you know, I would love to eventually bring kids that are getting in trouble. Like, you know, like I, you know, I don't have any formal education, you know, I don't have any, it's just, that wasn't my path, man. And so, you know, and I know what it is to be like that troubled kid that was getting in trouble and no one thought much of and thought that they wouldn't have a future and whatever, you know? And so I'd love to take kids like that, man, and be like, hey man, you can do this. and it's like, you know, an honorable profession, and give them an example where, hey man, you can make a living and have an honorable profession and be taken seriously.
Thanks to Colin Brown for sharing his story with us on this week's To the Beat of Agriculture. This segment was produced by our friends at Wessler Media. If you'd like to preserve your own story, much like what you just heard, visit them at wesslermedia.com, WESSLER media.com. More Our Ohio Weekly next.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
Here in Ohio, we grow possibilities. By investing in the Soybean Checkoff, farmers can concentrate on running their operations, while the Ohio Soybean Council creates new opportunities for future generations. The Soybean Checkoff works to get new soy-based products on the market, builds relationships with international buyers, and partners with researchers to increase yield and on-farm profitability. Learn more at soyohio.org/herewegrow. This message brought to you by Ohio Soybean Farmers and their checkoff.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Farm Bureau Bank has built its entire existence around the lifestyle and needs of farmers. They're here to help grow traditions, give back to agricultural communities, and offer financial convenience for your unique way of life. Visit farmbureau.bank or call one of their personal bankers today, 800-492-3276, to learn more. That's farmbureau.bank or 800-492-3276. From sun up to sundown, Farm Bureau Bank is committed to serving you. Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly, this week covering our D.C. trip at the end of September, the 2021 Washington Leadership Experience. I'm Ohio Farm Bureau's Ty Higgins. This trip was a bit unique due to circumstances around the pandemic. We combined three separate trips into one, including, as usual, county presidents and vice presidents with Ohio Farm Bureau, also members of the AgriPower Institute Class 12, and young ag professionals. Tyrone and Megan Brannon are the co-chairs of the Young Ag Professionals State Committee. As we visited at the nation's capital, I asked them about their farm back home.
We're located in Stone Creek, Ohio, just south of New Philly in Tuscarawas County. We have chickens, egg layers, and meat chickens. I have an apiary, and we started making some teas on the side with the herbs that we grow in our high tunnel.
So it is a really kind of a specialty type of agriculture, but there's still important issues here in Washington that you guys needed to cover. Talk about some of the things you worked with lawmakers this week about that not only affect you guys, but affect agriculture as a whole.
So one of the things that we talked about was the limited access of broadband internet in rural Ohio. And as, you know, Tyrone said, we have this great brand new high tunnel on our acreage. No internet service, can't take credit cards, can't do a lot of the different things that we'd like to do there. If people come out to buy something, it's cash only, turns away businesses. So we talked with Bob Gibbs about that and really expressed some of our concern for that.
Yeah, how about the experience overall? You get a chance to be face-to-face with your lawmakers here in Washington, D.C. Not an experience a lot of people get to have.
No, I mean, talked with Bob Gibbs, our own congressman. And then we went to the farm forum, and there was like six, seven other congressmen from all over the country. There was one from California, Pennsylvania, and then a couple others from Ohio, but it was quite the experience.
What did you take away from this whole experience in D.C. this week?
It really opens your eyes up to what Farm Bureau does, I mean, on the lobbying side of it, talking with all the congressmen and senators, and just, you know, I haven't been here since high school, so it's really makes you more aware of what the Capitol is like now.
How about having all these groups mixed? Usually Young Ag Professionals come out on their own, with AgriPower coming out here as well. Now you have the county presidents and vice presidents all out here at the same time. So really a wide variety of farmers of ages out here. What did that bring to the trip as a whole?
So I think sometimes in agriculture we get kind of closed-minded. We look into our path and that's all we think about. But having all of these different age ranges and different venues in agriculture has really broadened not only what we saw in relation to these different issues, but also hopefully what our congressmen see and how something that affects us like broadband internet at our high tunnel also affects a dairy farmer who might be wanting to install robotics on their farm and make their production more efficient. So I think that it really helps us to see not only the breadth of the issues involved in agriculture, but also how interconnected they are.
There were a few congressmen this week that said it was so nice to see young people visit them on the Hill and be able to make this trip out to Washington. Tyrone, I mentioned you guys are part of the Young Ag Professionals. You're on the state committee as co-chairs. Tell us more about that group and why you're so heavily involved.
Young Ag Professionals is made up from the age group of 18 to 35. We got involved after going on a fusion trip to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and got to meet all the Young Ag Professional, the group of leaders then, and we just kind of decided that we wanted to do it and went through the process, and now here we are as chairman,
chair couple.
And you've done a lot of work over the past couple of years, and it's all going to really come to a big grand finale for you guys, at least as co-chairs, as you plan the Young Ag Professionals Winter Leadership Experience down in Cincinnati. And Megan, registration for the Young Ag Professionals Conference is coming up on October 13th. Tell us more about the conference and what young farmers can expect if they attend.
We want to see as many people as we can come out to our brand new location in Cincinnati. It will be at the Duke Energy Center. We have so many different sessions. As I mentioned before, agriculture is so broad and deep that we want to try to give some credence to each thing that we can in agriculture. And so we've planned a lot of different sessions, some on transitional planning. We've got a beekeeping session. We've got sessions on just typical farm operations, financial planning, and so on, just to make all of our attendees or help them to be more professional in their agricultural careers.
Been part of the committee, Megan, you and Tyrone, for a few years now. What is your hope that you brought to the committee and helped YAP evolve to what it is today?
We kind of, helped bring it more aware, and we have moved locations with the conference now to try to make it so people are not traveling so far to Columbus from the southern part of the state. And, we're hoping that each year maybe it'll move to a different corner of the state, get more people involved in it that way.
How do you do that? How do you get more young people involved and get them excited, Megan, to be a part of the organization?
So I think it involves really giving them a voice and giving them, a seat at the table. A lot of times us young people are overlooked in agriculture because we're still getting to that point or we're still building our farms. And so having this conference in itself helps us to network and understand each other and know each other and build up ourselves as young ag professionals.
Megan Brannon, along with her husband Tyrone, are co-chairs of the Young Ag Professionals State Committee for Ohio Farm Bureau. Again, you can find out more about their organization online at experienceyap.com. More Our Ohio Weekly after this. Many farm families like to plan ahead, but is there such a thing as too far ahead? Ryan Conklin is an attorney with Wright & Moore, and Ryan, the downfall of any and all plans is that they sit on a shelf and collect dust. Does that go for succession plans as well?
Yeah, it absolutely does go for succession plans, Ty. What we look for with clients, you might put plans together when they first have children, and then they sit there for about 10, 20 years. And think about 10, 20 years, that's a long time on a farm. That's a long time for major family events and major life events to happen.
How far ahead, though, is considered to be too far ahead for these plans?
Plans should be set up to accommodate the next 5 to 10 years. If you start looking too far in the future, it can really bog down the process. You can go down a number of rabbit holes where you start planning for every possibility.
With that said, what types of changes in law or family circumstances call for a fresh look at a plan?
A good one right now, it's something that's pretty popular in Farm Bureau policy circles, is changes in tax law. That's a really good opportunity to pick up the phone or go into your attorney's office and talk to them about what changes need to be made in your plan. But as far as family circumstances, if you've got a son or daughter that decides to come back and take over the farm or start helping on the farm. And you've got other children that would be considered off-farm heirs. You know, now you need to look at that plan in the context of helping the farm survive. If you have a matriarch or patriarch that passes away, that can be very disruptive. Divorces, you might be another good example as well. But you know, ultimately, what we encourage clients to keep in mind is the goals that they set for their plan to begin with. And as those life changes come along, just making sure those goals are still worthwhile.
Ryan Conklin is an attorney with Wright & Moore. They focus their efforts on providing legal counsel to farmers and landowners in Ohio. Visit them online at ohiofarmlaw.com.
Ohio Farm Bureau has teamed up with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Ohio to offer health insurance options typically reserved for larger employers to Ohio agribusinesses with 1 to 50 employees. The Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan can provide you significant savings and quality health insurance benefits for your employees. For more information, eligibility, and competitive rates, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org or call 800-937-4567.
Fran, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Today, it might seem that all news headlines impact you directly.
How will rural Ohio recover from a global pandemic?
A county eminent domain case heads to the Supreme Court.
Millions are still in need of reliable internet access.
The nation's food supply chain is being challenged.
For over 100 years, Ohio Farm Bureau has advocated for a strong Ohio food and farm community, and will continue to engage on issues important to you, because your growth is our future. Farm proud and farm strong by becoming an Ohio Farm Bureau member today by visiting ohiofarmbureau.org.
Case IH is a proud supporter of Ohio Farm Bureau, and thanks to a membership benefits partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount of up to $500 on every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. So join Ohio Farm Bureau and pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount at ofbf.org. That's ofbf.org.
Thank you for listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week, sharing highlights with you from our 2021 Washington, D.C. leadership experience that happened in late September that combined County Farm Bureau presidents and vice presidents, along with young agricultural professionals, and Class 12 of our AgriPower Institute, all into one trip to our nation's capital. Austin Heil serves as vice president of Hardin County Farm Bureau. He thinks having all three groups there at the same time was a unique and beneficial experience.
So by having all three of us together has provided that opportunity that we can talk and see where we're at in the industry. We can see what we're facing as far as issues dealing with in high school. We have some people from college. And then we also have some seniors that have been here multiple times. So just hearing the wisdom and the experiences from both two dynamics really is what makes this trip really special.
The one thing that stood out to me is we talk about succession planning all the time in agriculture, and we have to think that way within Farm Bureau as well. These younger people are seeing these county presidents that have been maybe on this trip a half dozen times, being able to see what they do in their position and maybe wanting to be in that position years down the road. I think there's something to that too, where we're showing them a path to leadership within the organization.
As we sat with Representative Latta yesterday, he pointed out that it was really exciting to see so many young individuals sitting in his office yesterday and just seeing the future that agriculture has.
Tell me about your farm and how things are going there in Hardin County.
This year is a little better than the average last couple of years. We did miss the rains in August, but we're still blessed to have a decent harvest that we're looking forward to.
You're in the combine, you're taking in that decent harvest, but there's still some things weighing on your mind that we've talked about here in D.C. over the last week. What are some things that you visited with lawmakers about that affect you directly there on the farm?
So directly on the farm, we have a few things that we've talked about definitely yesterday with Latta and then with Gibbs's Farm Forum. And some of those things are looking at broadband, trying to expand the connection the speeds that we have in our rural communities. And on top of that, we're looking at the taxes, some of the potential taxes that are coming down, looking at, not so much my farm, for methane, but when we start looking at some of the deals that's coming out as far as eliminating fossil fuels. And when we look at everything we do on the farm from harvest that crop, but let's go to fertilizing. Most of our fertilizers that we use are, based off of natural gas. So if we eliminate natural gas, what are we going to do for fertilizer? If we start looking at transportation, just everything, there's just so many aspects. And then we look at the step-up taxes, that they're looking at as well. And trying to preserve the family farm for the future, and not so much the family farm, but just continue to have an industry that can provide safe and affordable food supply is some of the things that we've been fighting yesterday.
Do you think the messages that we're sending out there to lawmakers is resonating, and that they're seeing just how everything that they're dealing with inside the Beltway affect you on the farm?
So yesterday when we were talking with Representative Latta, he shared that when he talks to other representatives that's up here on the Hill, he shared that he talks to us as producers. He doesn't label us as farmers. He knows we're farmers. He knows what we do. But he shared that we are producers. And so to be able to convey our message to them, he shares us as producers. And that opens the doors to allow him. So as we share our message with him, in a clear, concise manner, it allows him to then share our message with the other constituents that's on the floor when they're talking about these bills and these policies that they're, putting into play. It definitely helps them, with that message as well.
Your take home, quite literally, from the DC trip.
So my take home this week is that we need to continue talking with our local officials, our state officials, and being a Farm Bureau member allows that channel, as what I posted this morning on Facebook, that if it wasn't for Farm Bureau, I personally, and along with many others that's in the room, would not have had the opportunity yesterday to meet with our representatives face-to-face, just like we currently are right now. And there's almost very little opportunity from back home to do that. And Farm Bureau has provided me personally that opportunity to come to D.C. and meet so many of our representatives.
Austin Heil from Hardin County, great to see you out here, and I hope you have a safe harvest.
Thank you, Ty.
You can find all of our coverage from the 2021 Washington, D.C. Leadership Experience online at ohiofarmbureau.org.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side and produced by Ohio Farm Bureau. Working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/Our Ohio Weekly.
Thanks again for listening, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.